We're continuing the Daring Faith series campaign, part four, and this Sunday is the title is Daring to Commit. Okay, Daring to Commit. Okay, Lord bless you, youth. Okay, so thank you. We love you. You know, but why do they always leave when I start preaching? Continually, you know? Anyway, the passage is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And the church said, amen. You know, our life is shaped by, you know, our commitment. You know, we become whatever we are committed to. If you're committed to being angry, your life will be filled with anger. If you're committed to being bitter, your life will be filled with bitterness. Or we have another option, thank God. We have another option. You and I can commit to something great. Okay? We could make a commitment to something great. And when we commit ourselves to something great as a church, okay, we will become great people. Okay? And when we become great people, we become a great church. Okay? We become a great church. Now, nobody is naturally great. You know, people become great when we commit ourselves to something that's greater than ourselves. Okay? You know, I don't know what happened, but last week I just started to get a lot of solicitors calling me on my phone. And I think, you know, they got my number and my wife's number because the call will come at the same time, you know, from the same number. And it wasn't, you know, I picked it up for a couple of them because, you know, I couldn't recognize some of the numbers. And they weren't trying to sell something, but they were trying to scam me, you know. You know, it was a call saying they are the Internal Revenue, you know. One said that they're from Verizon, you know. And you know, some of you get those calls that, you know, if you get a call saying, you just won the lotto or lottery, you know. It's a scam. It's all a scam. It's all a scam. And I was thinking about this, you know. So there is a group of people somewhere in the world spending all their time trying to figure out how to scam little old ladies, you know, people who are very vulnerable, people, there are people out there trying to scam your mom, your dad, your friends, and your family, okay? There's a group of people out there committed their life to cheating people. They just committed their life to cheating people. They committed their time, all their, you know, their thoughts, their effort, and their creativity, you know. Because when I got a call from Verizon, I go, oh no, you know. They said, they're going to cancel my, you know, it's been canceled. I go, but wow, how am I talking to you? But, you know, they spend their creativity to scam people. And the thought that I had is, what a waste of life. What a waste, you know? You know, we all have to commit to something. And you know, you cannot live life without making some kind of commitment. You can't buy a house without commitment. You can't buy a car without commitment. You can't have a job without making a commitment. You can't get married without commitment. And even friendship. It takes commitment. Okay? Friendship takes commitment. And today's verse, you know, Romans 12, 1, it says, to offer yourself, your life, I mean, offer your life as a living sacrifice to God. And that two word, that word offer and sacrifice, it's not talking about You know, it's not talking about money, giving money. It is talking about your life. It says, offer and sacrifice your life to God. Another word is saying, commit yourself wholly to God. Okay? Commit yourself wholly, completely to God. Now, Catalyst, we have a vision and value, and that vision and value is what it's saying is, it is commit yourself wholly to God. Okay? And how do we, as a church, commit wholly to God? The Bible says, okay, the Bible says we have to commit to the great commandment, okay, and the great commission. Okay? The great commandment and the great commission. What is that? It's very simply to love God, to love others, to love one another, and to love this community and the world. Okay? That's the great commandment and the great commission. And this is Catalyst vision and value. What is the vision of Catalyst? Put it up, please. Okay, well, it's only three words. Okay, what is the vision of Catalyst? Okay. And so, well, what does, and the value, we have the value, if you could put up the four values, is membership. Okay, what is membership? What are we called to break boundaries? What are we called to get greater and greater and greater with? It's membership, breaking boundary in love and relationship. Okay, that's the great commandment. And maturity, breaking boundaries in spiritual growth, that's part of the great commandment to, you know, just learn how to love God and love one another more and more and more. That's maturity. Okay? And then ministry is breaking boundaries in gifting and calling. We're preparing for the Great Commission. Okay? We want to figure out what is God's purpose and destiny, your spiritual gift, and develop it and raise you up. So what? So that we could eat bagels together? No, no. The missions. It's the missions. Breaking boundaries in community and the world. The Great Commission is go and make disciples of all nations. Okay? And so to fulfill this vision, to fulfill this value that we have as a church that God gave to us, to fulfill the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, I can't do it by myself. Okay? You can't do it by yourself. When it comes to the Great Commission, how can I love if it's by myself? I can't. You know? God orchestrated it so that it is impossible to do it alone. That's how he orchestrated it. We are made for each other. We were made to work together. We were made for something great. Okay? We were made for something great. Say that to your neighbor. You were made for something great. Okay? And to fulfill our vision and value, we have to commit to two things. Okay? We have to commit. We got to make a commitment. Okay? We got to make a commitment to two things. You know, some of you made a commitment to pay the bank 30 years on your mortgage. Okay? But we got to make this commitment to two things. And I have 2 points in this message. You know, Rick Warren had 12 points, but it's too much. It was too much. Okay. And so I have 2 points. Number one, commit to worshiping God. Commit to worship God. Okay, say that to your neighbor. Okay. Now, you know, that's part of the great commandment. You know, and I learned about worship from when I was doing research on the 12-step program, you know, Alcoholic Anonymous. And the step number one says we need to acknowledge we are powerless over alcohol, that alcohol has made our life unmanageable if you're addicted to, you know, alcohol. Now, step one is saying to acknowledge that you have this addiction and that addiction has made your life unmanageable. That's step number one. And this is very biblical. Right? This is very biblical. Like an addict, the Bible says we're all sinners. Okay? And sin has made our life unmanageable. Okay? It has brought spiritual and physical death. It has brought bondage and condemnation. It has made our life empty, and there's a hole in our life because of this sin. The Bible says we are lost because of sin. You know, and we are all sinners. And then in the 12-step program, step number two, this is what it said. We need to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Okay? We need to call out to a higher power, meaning we need God's help. Okay? And this is very biblical. Okay? Sin has brought emptiness, condemnation, shame, guilt, brokenness, death. Okay? We are lost because of sin. We can't manage it. We need God. Okay? So step number two is pretty much just saying that we need to worship God. In this world, everyone will go through a time where you feel something is missing in your life. You might not know what that is. You feel something important is hidden from you. And many, when they feel this emptiness, okay, we try to fill that hole with the wrong thing. Okay? We fill it with the wrong thing, with money, with material things, entertainment, sex, performance, achievement, popularity, fame, right? And what point number one says, don't try to fill that hole with that. But instead, it's a practical way of loving God and filling the hole the right way, worship God. Okay, worship God. You know, when you fill it the wrong way, darkness will increase in your life. There will be more insecurity, you'll become more desperate, there will be more bondage, and there will be more emptiness. Okay? But instead of doing that, simple point, practically love God, because of sin and emptiness and shame and guilt, we worship God. Okay? We worship God. There were 5,000 people hungry. They had no place to go. This little boy offers what this woman wants to say. What is worship? Offering. Okay? This little boy offers 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was an act of worship. And God used that to feed 5,000 people. Okay? In the Old Testament, there was a famine in the land. Okay? And the nation was in apostasy. God's people weren't worshiping the true God, but they were worshiping Baal, Asherah. Right? There was an altar to false God everywhere, and the altar of God laid in ruin. Okay? What does Elijah do? There's false prophets everywhere. He fixes the altar of God. What does it mean? He worships. Okay? And some of our altar needs to be fixed. It's kind of laid in ruin. And he made a commitment to fix that altar. And then what happens? It rained. And the nation of Israel turned their heart back to God. There was revival. There was a revival. You know, the season of my life that I'm going through is a season of weakness. That's how I don't know how to describe it other than that. It's a season of weakness. Where, you know, during this season, I've been going through disillusionment, not in, there was a time, but now it's not. It's not people, but kind of disillusionment in myself. You know, I see my personal failures, and I'm struggling with depression, you know. Before, a few years ago, I really thought I was really smart. You know, I really thought that. I thought that I knew ministry, you know, and you know, I knew what it means to be a pastor. I knew how to grow the church. I had all the answers. A few years ago, I was, you know, when I was talking to pastor, I was just telling them what they need to do, and I thought I knew it. I had the answer. And this season, I realized I don't know that much, you know, that I am weak. I'm a sinner, and my own righteousness is not enough. And that's what I'm, you know, doing this time. But what I am doing is I am fighting hard not to choose depression. I am fighting hard not to choose insecurity and hopelessness. I am fighting not to choose sin. Right? I'm fighting. Right? And I'm fighting to choose Jesus. Right? I'm fighting to choose worship. What am I saying? I'm committing myself to worship God. Right? You know, we believe, you know, you believe this when God, you know, we believe God loves us and He's with us when, you know, and He wants to bless us when you're healthy, wealthy, and successful. Oh, God loves me, you know, God's with me, and we know how to worship when you feel strong, you know, but when we feel weak, you know, we stop worshiping. You know, when there's grief, when there's loss, when there's rejection, when there's loneliness, you know, when there's pain. When we are in the valley, what God is calling our church to do, okay, don't choose the wrong thing. Let's commit to choosing the right thing. Together, let's worship God. Okay? You know, and we need to do this because God's preparing us, and He is doing things, but there's a great revival that I want us to be part of. But when that revival comes, there will be rejection. There will be spiritual attack. There will be when we are tired. Okay? There will be confusion. Okay? So what we learn now in the valley will prepare us for greater revival. Will prepare us for greater revival. You know, God is not just with you when, you know, everybody else is rejoicing, when there's great worship, when there's inspiring message. God, worship means this: God, I know that God is with me when I'm all alone. Okay? When my heart is broken. When I am hurting. This is the time God will do greatest miracle in me. Can you believe that? And some of, you know, I'm telling you, like, I feel so weak. You know, I do internally. I feel very weak, and I'm fighting it. But people are saying, oh, you know, yeah, I see so much anointing in you. You know, there's a change. There's a power. There's a truth. There's a revelation that coming from you. You know, and you know, even though I feel weak, I fear people's opinion less than before, than when I thought I was strong. I feel less. Right? And that's happening, I believe, is because in my weakness, I'm choosing and committing myself to worship God. Worship God. There's nothing, there's not much in me where I go, it's, I have to do it. But I'm choosing to worship God. And let's do this together. Okay? In the morning, Beautiful Gate Ministry, you know, met on the Saturday morning at an ungodly hour of 7:30 in the morning. Okay? 5:30 to 7:30 is ungodly. Okay? 9 a.m. is more godly. Okay? And you know, I got a couple vision or picture or impression. I don't know, whatever. You know, you gotta, if you get offended by vision, okay, impression. You know, impression. Because before, as a in doing ministry, you know, think about when you're surfing. Okay, when you're surfing, what a surfer does is they wait for the wave. They look for the wave that they want to get on. You know, when I was very miserable in ministry and in life, and in, you know, miserable with day to day, was when I tried to, as a surfer, think of a surfer trying to create that wave. You know? it doesn't work. Okay. It was a miserable time, you know. But in this picture, what I saw was this giant wave that God's created. You know, this giant wave. It wasn't a New Jersey 3-foot wave. Sure, you know, New Jersey shore 3-foot wave. We get it. Okay, it's over. You know, it's this giant 80-foot, 100-foot wave, you know, that I saw one day on YouTube, those giant wave rider, you know. And it is just amazing. But what it is that to get on that wave, that surfer had to be pulled by a jet ski. Because, you know, can't do it by himself. It's too big. The wave's too big. So a jet ski will pull, you know, the surfer has a rope, and the jet ski pulls that surfer to the top of the wave and moves out, and that surfer rides that wave. Okay. And the picture that God gave me about catalyst is catalyst is like that jet ski. Okay. It's like that jet ski. Okay. And what catalyst wants to do is take you to the top of the wave so that you can ride this giant wave. Okay? And the thing about riding that giant wave, when I was watching the YouTube, you know, documentary or video of it, my heart was pumping. Whoa, this is, you know, New Jersey Shore. When I was watching the surfer, I was laughing, but, you know, when I, well, sorry, when I saw this giant wave and the surfer, it was scary. It is scary. But guess what? It is scary. You can't get rid of that fear. But when you ride it, it's just, it was so, it was amazing. I can't imagine how awesome that must have been. And one thing about the surfers, you know, I saw some of them wipe out. Whoa, that looks so painful, you know, that. The wipeout is they wiped out, and you see waves coming top of them. I hope they survived this, you know, and they did. Guess what they do next? They go back out and look for that giant wave again, and they get on top of it again. But this time, they learn. They're better at it. They get better and better at riding this wave, you know. This is kind of transitioning to point number two. Point number one is commit yourself to worship God. Point number two, commit to partner with one another. Okay? Commit to partner with one another. Now, what's going on at Catalyst, you know, again, I'm not that smart. I'm just trying to see what God is doing. You know, and I'm just very excited because I'm very excited about JFM starting, Jericho Fall Ministry, and I'm very excited about the Beautiful Gate Ministry that's starting, that God's raising up. Now, JFM, you know, they have a worship night on April 6th, and JFM is focused on evangelizing and discipling the youth in this region, you know, in this region. And we need that kind of ministry because we have millions of youth in this region that needs God. Huh? That needs God. And then Beautiful Gate Ministry is focused on the Holy Spirit and bringing revival to this region. Okay, to this region. And you know, I'm very excited because, you know, in this church, Lucia, I don't know if she's here, I think she was in the children's ministry. Lucia, she's, you know, overseeing campus crusade ministry, college ministry, in several campuses in the area, you know. And I'm excited because FPU, you know, Youngju, he's heading that, Financial Peace University, you know, there's 17 people that signed up. There's some people from outside of the church that signed up for that, you know. And in our church, we're also helping out other ministries. And if you were here last Friday, there is a ministry called Youth Wave. They used our building. And what their focus is on youth in small churches where they don't have much resources. And they're bringing all those youth together from New Jersey and New York and doing revival meetings and worship night and retreat and discipleship. Okay? So if you came last month, there was a ministry called Pursuit. And they won revival in the region too. Okay? And they had their meeting here. And I'm so excited, you know. If you went to Facebook, you'll see Pursuit meeting at Catalyst. You know, it was all this, you know, JFM going to have Catalyst. But again, you know, when I talked to Tay and Young about Beautiful Gate and JFM, please don't mention Catalyst. Okay, don't mention Catalyst. And I'm just going to share with you. The reason is, as a church, Catalyst is very hard to help other churches. I think they see us as a competition or something. I don't know why. So I told them, you know, when you guys meet, okay, don't mention Catalyst. This is the ministry, you know, separate from Catalyst. Why? Because I want these ministries to help other churches. To help other churches. Okay? And other Christians. And raise them up so that we could reach North Jersey together. Catalyst, if it grew to 2,000 people, it won't make a dent in North Jersey. It won't. It won't make a dent. But if there's a revival in all the churches in North Jersey will be transformed. Okay, amen. Amen. So please support those ministries. And, you know, and just, you know, this is our heart as a church. Catalyst is not here to just eat bagels and, you know, fellowship with one another, you know. But we want to raise up people. We want to raise up ministries. We want to raise up churches. We want to raise up missions. Right? And the picture that I got in the morning was, here's Catalyst Church. Think of an engine with one cylinder, one piston. Okay, it's not that powerful. You know, I remember when I was in the West Coast in the 80s when Hyundai came out. I had this really weak car that it wasn't gonna make up the mountain. I'm like, please, come on, please make it. It wasn't gonna make it up. It was dying on me, right? But here's Catalyst Church. Okay. JFM, another cylinder. Okay. Okay. Beautiful Gate Ministry. Okay. Catalyst City. Okay. Catalyst Mission. Catalyst School. You know, FPU. Campus Ministry here. We will be able to get up any mountain. Any mountain we'll be able to get up. So, you know, in Romans 12, the Bible says we are like various part of a human body, okay? And each part gets its meaning and function as part of his body, okay? So what it's kind of saying is, you know, my ear, okay, can't function outside of the body. What it means is, say my ear's cut off, is on the floor. It can't function. It can't function. You know, my nose, if it's cut off, it will lose its purpose. Okay? My eye, you know, if it's not in the eye socket and connected to the brain and everything else, it has no value. It has no value. The purpose that God made you can only be discovered, connected to the body of Jesus Christ. Right? You see, the enemy, that's why he attacks so much. The enemy comes to divide, cause conflict, shame, accuse, condemn, so that we can't work together. So that we can't work together. So what should we do? Catalyst. As a follower of Jesus Christ, let's make our relationship better, not make it worse. The enemy tells you, judge your brother and sister. Okay? Be jealous, be envious, be competitive. You know, don't forgive. You know, point out their fault. As Catalyst member, let's refuse to do that. Okay? Let's partner together instead for something greater. Partner together to fulfill the great commandment and to fulfill the great commission. You know, to experience significance, we need to partner with one another. Significance does not come from status. It does not come because of the car that you drive. It doesn't come because of the shoe that you wear or the shirt, the shirt that you wear. Significance comes from serving and partnering with one another. So when we partner with one another, when we partner together, we maximize our impact, okay? Tell your neighbor, if we work together, we maximize our impact. So if you want to make impact with your life, you want to make world impact, global impact, historical impact, then we need to work together. We need to partner with one another. What we do together will be far more significant than what we could do individually. See, one drop of rain doesn't make a difference in the desert, but millions of drops can turn the desert into a garden. Okay? What you can do is not a lot. You know, before I go, you're great, but what God's showing me, alone, you're not. Alone, I'm not that great. Okay? What you can do is not a lot. What I can do is not a lot. But together, we could impact the world. Okay? Another point. When we partner together, we minimize our failures. Say that to your neighbor. This is great. God has a plan. God has this plan. When we work together, we maximize our impact. When we work together, we minimize our failure. Okay? And because Ecclesiastes 4 says, if one falls down, the other picks them up. If you are doing it on your own, who's going to pick you up? Okay? Catalyst, there was a season in the beginning, especially in the beginning, when everything went through me. As a senior leader here, everything went through me. And you know what I realized? The weakness of the church was very obvious. Right? The church weaknesses was my weakness. It was. It was my weaknesses. And the church strength was my strength. Right? But that's not a church. Right? As more people rise up, and we learn how to love each other, love God and love each other, and help each other and partner with each other and support each other. Okay? My weaknesses are minimized. If you don't know how to partner with one another, we, as a church, we'll just grow in knowledge and information about Christianity. Christianity is an exercise of intellectual assent, meaning you're just agreeing on things, but no power. Yes, we should help the poor, but we'd never do it. Yes, we should evangelize, we don't do it. God is supernatural, but we don't see any miracles. But God gave us one another, because we need one another, you know, but just don't stop there. We need relationship. We need this community to find joy, okay? Because joy is not going to come. This biblical joy is not going to come from money. It's not going to come from your job only, you know, or big house. Because if your relationship stinks, you could have a big house, your life will stink. If your relationship stinks, you could have a good job, but your life will stink. Okay? And so, we need one another to have this joy, but that's not the only thing. Okay? That's not the only. God gave us one another to accomplish great things. Okay? Things greater than ourselves. If you could accomplish something by yourself, it's not too great. What? Anything great is done through relationship, not by one person. And the Bible says, together we could impact the whole world. The whole world. Again, our church is not a bagel shop. I think we order like 100 bagels or something, you know, every Sunday. Yeah. Church is not a place to sing a few songs and hear a 30-minute message. It's not just meetings and programs and activity. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Each one of you are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Each one of you have purpose and value in the body of Jesus Christ. Apart, we don't have purpose and value. Together, okay, together, we could change the world. Okay. Amen. Okay. Let's pray.